Congregation, our text for this morning is from the scripture reading from Joshua 8, verse 33. Joshua 8, verse 33. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side besides before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. Congregation, it's about covenant renewal at the Ebal and the Gerizim. Covenant renewal at the Ebal and the Gerizim. And first we want to look at the place. And then secondly, we focus on the altar. And thirdly, we think of the blessing and the curse. Place and the altar and the blessing and the curse. We go to a special place. This story brings us to Sychem, with on the one hand side the Mount Ebal and on the other hand side the Mount Gerizim. The city of Ai is now conquered, and the people of Israel traveled in northern direction. And now battling has stopped for a time, because now time has come for devotion to the Lord, to make solemn vows to the Lord, the God of Israel. For the Lord wants covenant renewal, that a covenant will be confirmed between God and His people. And that has to be taken place at Sychem, exactly in the center of the promised land. And why Sychem? Because God commanded so. We read it twice. In Deuteronomy 11 and 25. That the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded to renew the covenant after they had entered into the promised land. And God wanted to remind His people about His covenant, about that special relationship that God has with the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that God wanted them to live according to His covenant ordinances. And therefore they have to gather together in a large assembly. All the tribes have to come together and appear before the Lord and listen to God's commandments, all the blessings and all the curses. And they had to make a solemn confession and to bring sacrifices before the Lord, sacrifices of burnt offerings, sacrifices of peace, thank offerings. And they had to bow before the Lord and say amen to all the blessings and curses of the covenant. And for that reason, all the peoples of Israel are now gathered together. You can read it in verse 35. Also the women and the children, even the little ones, are mentioned, and also all the strangers that lived within the people of Israel. Sychem is the place. And Sychem is for the people of Israel a historical place. And we have to take that into account this morning. Sychem was the place, congregation, where Abraham built his first altar. And there the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land. And now God wants his people to come together exactly on that same place for that precious covenant renewal. To come to that place, they had to travel through a broad valley. A very suitable place for such a large assembly to come together, because that valley forms a natural theater with a great acoustics, so all would be able to hear what was being said. You have to remember also that when the people of Israel gathered together at Sychem at this moment, only two cities have yet been conquered. The city of Jericho and the city of Ai. And now they come together with such a large assembly. The women are there, the children are there, even the little ones are there. Wouldn't that be too risky? Still the enemies surround them. And now they come together for this religious gathering. Maybe in our thinking, it's irresponsible to come together in such a situation. Wouldn't it be better to first conquer the other enemies? And then, when the enemies are conquered, come together and have this special time at this special place? But God defines time and place. And although there are still many enemies surrounding them, God appointed this time and appointed this place. And again, you have to think of Abraham. When Abraham for the first time came to Sychem and built an altar, you read that the Canaanites, the enemies, were surrounding him. And now the descendants of Abraham are exactly in that same situation. Because there are all kinds of settlements and villages and strongholds of the Canaanites around them. But the Lord appointed that time and that place, that large assembly, because the Lord wanted to show his people at Sychem that he is faithful. That God remembers his covenant. Like the psalmist says, he remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Do you now understand, congregation, why the children and why the little ones had to be involved in that large assembly? It's because of God's covenant. Because God remembers His covenant from generation to generation. And now they have to make their vows before the Lord. Because only in that way the promised land can be taken into possession. So the place of that covenant renewal was at Sychem, was in the midst of the promised land, where they were surrounded with all the enemies. And where is the church today? Where do we and our children live? Oh, the church is in the midst of the world. Surrounded, yes, you may say, with all kinds of enemies and temptations. John Bunyan says the church stands on unenchanted ground in the midst of the world. The terrain of the serpent, that old serpent, Satan. Where did it come off, congregation, so badly? In Jacob's family. Remember Dinah, Jacob's daughter, and Levi and Simeon. Where did it come off so badly in Jacob's family? That was at Shechem, at the same spot. How significant is this Shechem for the people of Israel? And there in the midst of their enemies, where all speaks of God's faithfulness and the weakness and the sinning away on their side, their God wanted to renew the covenant. It wasn't Joshua's idea, but the word was Joshua's guide. And here Joshua is again a servant of Moses. He goes in the footsteps of Moses. And it is recalled in our scripture reading that God's servant Moses had spoken already about this covenant renewal that had to take place in Sychem. As Moses, verse 31, the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel. And as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. Therefore we read also that portion from Deuteronomy 11. And there are also other portions that refer to that. The place of that covenant renewal. And then we see the altar of that covenant renewal. The first thing Joshua had to do was to build an altar. Abraham did exactly the same. What was the first thing that Abraham did at Sychem? Building an altar. And now Joshua is also building an altar. Verse 31. An altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. It's also good to pay attention to that, congregation. Whole stones, that means unworked stones. The Canaanites, the heathens, they worked on their stones when they builded altars for their idols. And they made all kinds of inscriptions and carvings and images in the stones of the altar. But God commanded that Joshua had to take rough stones, undecorated stones, stones that hadn't been worked on. In God's law, it was even forbidden to make stones fitting by using iron tools. God wanted an altar of rough material. It even says in the law of Moses, if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Joshua had to take stones that were available there at Sychem. Stones that God provided in a natural way. So building the altar is not an achievement of a human being. Human adjustments to the stones of the altar are not allowed to participate. Joshua was not allowed to build an altar after his own idea. It had to be an altar according to God's will, according to God's plan. Maybe in our eyes, boys and girls, a rough altar, a very simple altar, made out of big, rough stones. That was the material God wanted to be used. It did all come from God's side. In other words, already the preparation of the altar, it's all speaking of free and sovereign grace. That's the proclamation of the altar. Like the Apostle Paul says later on, being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the building of that altar shows the people of Israel that they are in God's sight a guilty people. Before the covenant can be renewed, they have to make their confessions. And they need reconciliation because of their sins. An altar is needed before the covenant can be renewed. After the building of the altar, the 12 tribes of Israel were divided upon the two mountains. And Moses already indicated the division of those 12 tribes. Oh, what a sight that must have been. Maybe even more than 2 million people. One half on the Mount Ebal, and the other half on the Mount Gerizim. And there in the middle, in the valley between those two mountains, there was the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, in the valley, visible for all the people of Israel. And then sacrifices are offered before the Lord. Burnt offerings And after the burnt offerings, the peace offerings. Exactly as you can read it in Exodus 20. And the Lord gave his law unto the people of Israel. Here we read the same offerings and the same order of the offerings. The burnt offering comes first. And as you probably know, a burnt offering is an offering that is totally consumed by fire. In Hebrew it says holocaust. You know that word? Holocaust offering. Totally burnt. Nothing left. Burnt offering. Those burnt offerings, they spoke about the atonement, about the substitute. The offer is a substitute for the guilty people of Israel. It speaks of atonement, of forgiveness. That's in the burnt offering. It was totally consumed. It showed Israel the justice and the righteousness and the holiness of God, that God can in no way have communion with sin or with the guilty people. There was the need for that substitute, for that burnt offering. And then after that burnt offering, there were those peace offerings. You could call those offers also fellowship offerings, because part of the offering was used for a meal. It spoke about that restored relationship. It included thanks offerings, giving praise to the Lord for his goodness. And so, congregation, these two offerings, they were needed for that covenant renewal at Sychar. And Joshua had to do even more. We can read it in verse 32. When the altar was built and the offerings had to be made, then he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Stones, we probably have to think of those big, rough stones that were used to build the altar. So it must have been a huge altar with big stones. Then Joshua, he covered the stones with a type of plaster, and the law of God was written on that dried plaster. The law of Moses. The Ten Commandments. 10 words of the covenant. And again, it was said to the people of Israel, written, so to say, in stone again. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God wanted again that the words of his holy law were written on those stones. And so the Lord called out, you understand, God called out to the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God, and I brought you in this promised land, and you will only prosper in this land, and you will only be blessed in this land, if you serve me according to this, my holy law. The blessing of the promised land could only be complete for the people of Israel if the covenant was renewed. If they serve the Lord their God. God wanted them to serve Him wholeheartedly. Not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. To follow Him and obey Him. So God asserted this holy claim upon the people of Israel. Because He delivered them. He brought them out of the house of bondage. He fulfilled the promise He made to Abraham at Shechem. And God made them to witness that all. And God wanted them to make their vows and to surrender completely unto the Lord. That's what was at stake in that great assembly in Shechem. And the words of the law of God were written on those stones. Congregation, do we realize that all these things concern us as well? For God has also given a copy of His holy law to you and me. And Sunday by Sunday, when the congregation gathers together in the house of prayer, there are these commandments of the Lord. They were written on the stones of the altar. And the altar speaks of the sacrifice. It was not only the law, it was also the gospel. The gospel speaks of the sacrifice, burnt offering, of reconciliation, and those peace offerings. They spoke of that peace with God, that great blessing, that great covenant. Blessing, having peace with God. So God also gave us His commandments, His holy word. Oh, take that to the heart, congregation. It's not just optional that God gave us His holy word. God is calling for repentance, calling to have our hearts, our minds, our will, our strength, our youth. That altar had to be built on the Mount Ebal. That's also very significant. Why must that altar be built on the Mount Ebal and not on that other mountain, Mount Gerizim? The blessings, they came from the Mount Gerizim. The curses came from the Mount Ebal. And God wanted that altar to be built on the mountain of the curses. Altar with the words of God's holy law written out upon the stones was built on the mount of the curse. And on that mount, the sacrifices of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings were brought. That must have something in it, don't you think? Oh, without the altar, without those sacrifices, the people of Israel could not survive. For the Lord their God is a holy God, a righteous God. And God's holiness and righteousness would consume that guilty people. For we all stand guilty before the Lord. We all have gone astray. We are altogether unprofitable. There's none that doeth any good. Oh, think of the past of this people of Israel. What road is laying behind them? A road of rebellion, of backsliding, of wandering away, sinning away all the blessings the Lord had bestowed upon them. This people, congregation, is not worthy the blessing of the Lord. They deserve, instead of the blessing, the curse. Do you understand that truth? That we don't deserve the blessing? But that instead we deserve the curses of the law. But see, God provided an altar. God provided a way of atonement for a guilty people. And the burnt offering took away the curse. And the peace offering opened the way of receiving the blessing. That's why the altar had to be built on the mount of the curse. Because sinful people can only receive God's blessing if the curse is taken away. And therefore, congregation, that altar and those rough stones and that simple altar and those offerings brought on Mount Ebal make us to think of Calvary. Calvary is the mount of the curse. There the Lord Jesus Christ brought that vicarious sacrifice. Cursed is the one that hangeth on the tree. The cross of Calvary. That rough wooden cross. That is the altar over which no iron had been moved. Like Paul says in Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse unto us. Oh, what an eternal wonder. Even the curse due unto us was upon him, that he might fill us with his blessings. And although he kept God's holy law with his whole heart and in his whole life, oh, yet the Lord Jesus was numbered with the transgressors, and he was abandoned from God his Father, and he cried out on that mountain of the curse with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that judgment, and that punishment, and that curse, deserved by covenant breakers, was on him. And he bare that curse. He took it away. There was no other way, congregation, in which that curse could be taken away. To open the way of salvation. To open that way through which the blessings of Abraham can be received by a guilty people. The altar is needed. The sacrifice is needed. That great Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, is needed. In him, God opened the way for the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, did you got to know yourself as such a covenant breaker? As such a one that deserved the curse? But God provided an altar. On that Mount of Calvary. And in that offering of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of his grace. Oh, seek to hide in him, for there is no condemnation. There is no longer curse, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. The place of covenant renewal. The altar needed for that covenant renewal. And then the blessings and the curses, which are all about that covenant renewal. But let us first sing together from Psalter 2:22, verses 3 and 4, I, thy God, remove thy burdens. When thou callest, set thee free. Prove thee in the thirsty desert. In the thunder answered thee. Psalter 2, under 22, the stanzas 3 and 4. Tribes of Israel congregation were standing there and at Sychem at that by God designated place and then the law, all the statutes of the law were read out loud. Joshua read all those covenant words of the Lord their God, all the blessings of the covenant, all the curses of the covenant. We believe that the Levites must have assisted Joshua by repeating the words that were read. Words of the blessings and the words of the curses. The Levites repeated those words so that all the people standing there on those mountains were able to hear what was read. And Moses already spoke about what had to be read. You can find it in Deuteronomy 11 and 27. And they heard about rich blessing. Blessed is the man who keeps God's covenant. For I, the Lord, will be your God. I will bless you and I will keep you. They heard the blessings. But also they heard the curses of God's holy law. Cursed is the man who breaks the covenant. For he shall be cut off of the congregation of Israel. Blessing and the curse. Or in other words, the law, the gospel. That's what the people of Israel heard. They heard about life. And they heard about death. That had to be heard. And that had to be known. From the youngest to the oldest. And all the people were hearing those covenant words. Blessings, curses in the name of the Lord. And all the people answered to those blessings and to those curses. Amen. And the children listened to that amen of their parents. And the children also began to say, amen. It's often one of the first words that our little ones begin to speak. Amen. Yes, Lord, it is true. It is certain. If you try to think about it, congregation, that the people of Israel, with that solemn vow of those amens, that they accepted all the words of the covenant, the blessings, curses and blessings. It echoed back and forth from the Ebal to the Gerizim and from the Gerizim to the Ebal. And the ark was standing there in the middle of that valley. Those millions of people calling out, amen. It is true, Lord. It is certain. What would be your answer? Do you know of that amen between God and your heart? That solemn vow with your whole heart. That amen to the blessings and also to the curses of God's holy covenant. Oh, congregation, that becomes a reality. And the way of repentance. And God by grace opens our hearts. Then that amen becomes a reality. And we begin to listen so different to the words of God's holy law. And it is as if we are placed before a mirror. And then we hear with all our heart what God demands of us. And that mirror of God's holy law, with blessings and curses, those covenant words of God, that begin to show us that we have all sinned away, that we come short of the glory of God. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark my iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And it brings such a tender impression to the heart that I deserve that curse that comes from Mount Abel. For I have done what was evil, O Lord, in thy sight. Oh, that's why our Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that the law has to be strictly preached. The Lord uses it as a mirror to convince sinners of their sins and iniquities, to make sin abound even, to see the true colors of your sin and iniquity, to learn the truth about ourselves. And that's over and over again needed in the life of God's people, that mirror of God's holy law give us that sight of who we are, and that we still are that same sinner. For the law in the hand of the Holy Spirit is the schoolmaster that drives the sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the altar, to the cross of Calvary. That amen between God and your heart. Congregation, it is a part of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, true saving faith, can be compared with saying that amen. Confessing, Lord, I deserve the curse. I sinned it all away. I know that within me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good. I'm not a covenant keeper. I myself am a covenant breaker. And that humbles and makes you bow down low and cry for mercy. Lord God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And you begin to understand, I need an altar. I need a sacrifice. I stand in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even more and more you begin to learn the need of Jesus Christ. Not only for your justification as a burnt offering, but also for your sanctification as a peace offering. That we stand of that full and able and willing Savior. That all the blessings come from the altar on the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for our sins and iniquities. Where He gave His soul as a ransom. That great mediator. That in Him the covenant blessings are received by such a one that had to confess, Lord, I'm so guilty before Thee. I deserve that righteous curse of the law. And in such a way, God will lead His people and make them to partake in the blessings of the covenant. Do you know of that amen to the curse and to the blessing? Do you know, congregation, about that altar? That altar made not of our material, but made by God's material. Oh, so often, let's be honest, so often we try to fit in one of our stones in that altar. But only that spotless obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, only that bitter sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver us from the curse and make us partakers of that rich, eternal blessing. Not our stones come in. God uses His own material. Only from that rough wooden cross, blessings will come. Oh, what a blessing is that amen of faith. To surrender totally to the Lord and to look unto the Lord Jesus. Sensible in yourself of that punishment deserved. And then to become a partaker of those covenant blessings. Oh, then we can find no words, congregation, to express the peace and the wonder and the gratitude that fills the heart. And therefore, there were also those peace offerings on that Mount Ebal. Thou shalt eat thereof and rejoice before the Lord. And isn't that a picture, a beautiful picture of the peace in the heart of a sinner, finding peace with God? God will print it in the heart, giving you peace, for there is no condemnation for whosoever is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that fills us with such a holy reverence and such a joy in the Lord. And it makes us to say, Lord, how love I thy law. But then again, we look at those stones and the words of God's law written out on those stones. The curse of the law being taken away because of that great and only offer, the mount of the curse, the Lord Jesus Christ. The curse taken away. And God makes us to partake in those covenant blessings. And that will make us to respond with that amen by faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Oh, that desire to serve Him and to follow Him and to be obedient unto Him. Not because the law is cursing, but because the curse was taken away in that precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives us such an evangelical desire after holiness, after serving the Lord with all our hearts and walking in His statutes and battling that warfare against self and sin and world. Because of that sacrifice, because of that curse that was on Him, that blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Covenant renewal. Do you know the need for covenant renewal? I believe, congregation, that all who fear the Lord know about the need over and over again of covenant renewal.
And what a blessing when the Lord takes you to that place. On God's appointed time, in your inner room, or in the house of prayer, where the word is preached, where the sacraments are administered, that between God and your heart, the covenant is renewed. Oh, let's search ourselves if there is now that need for covenant renewal. Not only in our own hearts and lives, but maybe in your marriage, or in your family, or in your church, or wherever the need is seen and felt. Congregation, soon, who knows how soon we will all stand before the Lord. And what will it be? Blessing or curse? What will it be? Come in. Receive eternal blessing. Or depart from me. Eternal curse. There is that story. It's about London. Close to that great dome of the St. Paul, there was in ancient times a building called Newgate Prison. Persons who were sentenced to death spent their last night in Newgate Prison. Story tells that the last execution that took place there was of a young woman who had been sentenced to death for an awful deed. It was her last night. She spent that night in Newgate Prison. And she was to be executed at 7 o'clock in the morning. And when at 6 o'clock in that morning the guard came in, he found her quietly asleep with a smile upon her face. And he left her for another half hour. And again he came in, but still she slept, and as he later heard that she was dreaming of earlier days, of her childhood, her loving father and loving mother, the happy days of her youth in the village. And the guardian, the jailer was standing there and looking at her, and he had tears in his eyes, because he thought, what an awakening it will be. And indeed it was. For when he awoke her, he brought her back to that fearful consciousness of her sin and her shame and her ruined life and that fearful law and that sentence that she was guilty and that she was going to be executed. What an awakening will it be? Do you consider that this can also be the story of your life? If we do not repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't flee to that altar and to that sacrifice, oh congregation, what an awakening will that be? To appear before God, our Maker. Oh, now is the appointed time. Now is still the day of salvation for covenant breakers. As we all are in Adam, there is that gospel invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
For we have an altar. An altar on Calvary's hilltop. Cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an altar. And Jesus says unto you, whoever you are, look unto me, and you will be saved. Amen. Let us now pray and give thanks.
Lord, will thou apply this message about that covenant renewal at Abel and Gerizim to our hearts? It's about the blessing and the curse, the curses and the blessings. O will thou teach us and lead us by thy Spirit that we all deserve that punishment and that curse of thy holy law. For we all come short of the glory of God our Maker. But there is that great provision, an altar. And thou provided thy beloved Son. And he gave himself. The curse due unto us was upon him. To fill us with thy blessings. We pray, Lord, wilt thou be the after preacher of this thy holy word? And wilt thou be with us? And this thy day, this afternoon, bring the congregation faithful together, also in the evening hour. Remember thy servant, our brother and friend, Reverend Vergunst, as he will preach, Lord willing, this evening. Wilt thou be with us in the forgiveness of all our sins, we pray. In Jesus' name alone. Amen.